Before we give the sermon, we would like to congratulate our four new priests, and especially their families and their parents especially. A very special occasion to have your son, your brother, raised to the sacred priesthood. We'd also like to thank all of the priests who came from a great distance to be present for these beautiful ceremonies to show their support. I know it was a sacrifice. Not all of our priests could make it, but those who have, we are very appreciative of your presence. I think there's 31 priests here today. Also, there are fellow bishops who I work with who would like to extend also the congratulations, Bishop Davila in Mexico, Bishop Pio Espina, and Bishop Julian Espina in Argentina, and Bishop Waugh in Canada. Also send their greetings and congratulations and their prayers. And we also like to thank all of the faithful who have come as well. Some of you come from a great distance. And when I reflect on the Holy Priesthood, I am reminded of the words of Christ that we just read this past Sunday. Jesus said, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." Indeed, the priest is another Christ, an alter Christus. He acts in the person of Christ. And as we have reflected so often in past ordinations, he says, "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood." Because by ordination, he represents and acts in the person of Christ. In confession, he will raise his hand and say, "I absolve you," once again representing Christ. How important it is for our priests, especially the newly ordained ones, to pattern their priesthood after that of Jesus Christ. When our Lord visibly walked amongst men, how did he want to be identified? He said, "Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart." How important is that virtue of humility? Our Lord and Savior humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the death of the cross. His first words that we read of in the Gospel, "Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" And indeed, our newly ordained priests need to pattern their hearts after the Sacred Heart, to be humble and meek, and realize you're only an instrument of God. As St. John the Baptist spoke of Christ, "He," Jesus, "must increase, and I must decrease." And at the Last Supper, when our Lord washed the feet of his disciples, he was giving an example that we should not, as priests, expect to be served, but we come to serve. After the imitation of Christ, we should be the good shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. And there's no sheep that is too far gone that we should not go after and try to save and bring that sheep back on our shoulders, back to the flock. When I think of the priesthood, I'm reminded of how our Lord has willed that his work here on earth continue. Our Lord and Savior ascended into heaven, but his work continues in his priests. First and foremost, by their offering of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the renewal of Christ's death on the cross in an unbloody manner. And secondly, by forgiving sins and ministering the sacraments. What a wonderful thing it is to be a priest. The impact that you have on souls. It's very humbling to realize that people's eternal destiny is in your hands. Whether they go to heaven or go to hell, God's going to use you as the instrument for their salvation. When we think of how much Christ suffered, especially as we just came through Holy Week, especially by his death on the cross, nailed to the cross, crowned with thorns, his body beaten and scourged. We know the price that Christ paid for our redemption, the shedding of his precious blood. That is the reason why it is so important for us to realize how precious our souls in the sight of God, and that we need to have that zeal that our Lord's Sacred Heart had for sinners. Also, when we think of our Lord's sufferings, we think of our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, standing at the foot of the cross. She stood there, very close proximity, seeing all the sufferings her Son endured. She knows the price that her Son has paid. And I especially think of when Our Lady appeared at Fatima. Our Lady was very serious. So many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray and sacrifice for them. My dear priests, you can be that factor in bringing souls to heaven. You can be that instrument of God. And let us remember how important it is to have the powerful intercession of the Mother of God and our own spiritual Mother Mary. Every day ask Our Lady's help, that you might every day be a good representative of your divine Son, Jesus. And how important it is when we think of our Lord at the Last Supper, what was his prayer for his apostles? That they might be one, as he and the Father are one. How important it is that we strive for unity amongst us. We tell the lay people, love one another. This is the greatest commandment. Well, we got to practice what we preach. We are all different. All the priests are different. God gives all of us different talents and abilities, and also faults and failings. We got our pluses and our minuses. God gives us some talents in one area, but not maybe in another. And how important it is that we use our talents for God's greater honor and glory, and that we help and assist one another. How important it is that we avoid division. In things that are certain, there has to be unity. In matters of faith, it has to be unity. In matters that are opinion, there can be liberty. Just because someone doesn't follow your opinion or doesn't accept your opinion doesn't mean anathema. No. It means that if someone has a lawful, legitimate opinion, and you know, before all the apostasy in the church, there were differences of opinion. They didn't come in to condemn each other, just difference of opinion. And so the church finalizes and makes a determinate decision on a matter. Still open for discussion, but we have to avoid division. But let us not think that our situation is unique. Have there been problems in the past? Of course there have been. To me, it seems like in this day and age, all of the attacks of Satan on the church are all combined. If we look through the whole history of the church, we're getting a combination of all those attacks. And how important it is that we think of Christ and that we truly stay united. A house divided cannot stand. One beautiful example that I remember, and it's kind of funny, this is about almost 50 years ago. In the seminary, we had table reading, and we were reading about Blessed Oliver Plunkett. Maybe some of you don't know very well, but Oliver Plunkett was the Archbishop of Armagh, Ireland. And you know, I don't remember much about that book, but there's one thing that stuck out in my mind. The division between the Dominicans and the Franciscans. And especially intrigued me that there was such a division that on one occasion there was a fist fight between the Dominicans and the Franciscans. And you know one thing disappointing about that book? They didn't say who won. Maybe we can ask Father Francis Miller, but I think he'll be a little bit bias about who I may fight. So, one of the beautiful things about our Catholic faith is this. We all belong to a spiritual family. As Catholics, we're members of the mystical body of Christ. And how important it is, as a body, we need to work together. We all have our part, all have our duties and things to fulfill. How important it is that we do our part and we work together and we work things out and we see the bigger picture. The bigger picture is we're living in the days of the apostasy, the great falling away. We are living in a time of interregnum where there's no pope. We are living in difficult times morally, where the world has gone so far away. The sins that are being committed today, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for. And it is important for us to help each other that we may all persevere. Once again, for our newly ordained priests, we're very happy for you. This day that was picked was quite random, I should say. We normally have ordinations in May, but we wanted to have a special major feast and also in the middle of the week. If we have a feast on a weekend, like a Saturday or maybe even Friday, many of the priests won't be able to attend because they have their masses to go to and their parishes. So we just said, well, St. Mark's feast is transferred to Tuesday. It's a great time. Little did I know that Mr. and Mrs. Trotter are celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary today. And he told me on Sunday, he was resolved, unless the ordination's on the 29th, he's not coming. Stubborn German, right? But that shows us how God in his providence works out. What a joy to not have one, but two sons as a priest. When we finish the sermon, as we begin the offertory, our newly ordained priests will offer their first Mass and come celebrating with the bishop. What a joy and privilege to be able to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. I'd like to encourage our newly ordained priests. I remember my first Mass back in 1985, June 28th, Feast of St. Irenaeus, and someone asked me, how was it? Did you have any supernatural experiences? I said, it was valid. You're focusing on wanting to do everything properly. But as you focus on things properly, most importantly, especially after the consecration, focus on the real presence of Christ, our divine Savior, under the appearance of bread and wine. At that time when our Lord's on the altar, St. Alphonsus Liguori says, this is the time when God is more disposed than ever to hear our petitions. Do you remember before you celebrate Mass, before you minister a sacrament, call upon the Holy Ghost to enlighten your mind and strengthen your will. Our divine Savior is the vine, and we are the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. Our Blessed Mother is our own spiritual mother. Go to her in all your spiritual and temporal needs with great trust and confidence. After the Mass, before we exit, the parents of the newly ordained will come to the communion rail, get their son's first blessing. I got to tell you this, I've done many ordinations. Ask Father Ethel Hansi's count them. But I have to say this, it doesn't matter how many times you've done ordinations, there's nothing that is more moving than to see a parent or parents get their son's blessing. What a joy, what a privilege. And let us also on this occasion thank God and thank our Blessed Mother for our precious Catholic faith. And let us help us all work together that we may all help each other out in persevering in this precious Catholic faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.